All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. We'll start off this hour. Thanks again to David Dwork for joining us. I'll give you some weather here, brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Help you keep your home and family safe when the storm rolls in. Visit tornadoroofing.com for your free roof and window estimate. Currently 83 degrees, got a high of 87 today. Partly cloudy conditions expected around 1 p.m. And that is your weather for today. Pretty nice out there, everybody. Headlines, those are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. In Miami, we go to the beach for a little solcito. And when we want a low price, we know you always pay less with your Pricito de Mayo at Doral Hyundai. The Marlins, they lose to the Baltimore Orioles yesterday, 9-7. Let's hear a little bit from Clayton.
Ridiculous on Sandy Night.
On Sandy Night, dude. Yeah, slugfest. This was Clayton McCullough saying, Sandman, not at his best yesterday.
The Beavers at bat just got really elongated. Pitch count ran up. You know, Pete hooks a ball down the line for, you know, a couple of runs, and you have a little trouble handling it down there. You know, get another guy, you know, to third base. And I think this was a little story of just some times today where, when he had some counts in his favor, just maybe not executing well enough with 2K to, you know, get him in some places to, you know, to put him away. And he threw a lot of good pitches with 2K. I mean, the Basayo ball just probably up just enough to give him a chance to, you know, he broke his bat, but get enough on it for, you know, soft knock to right. And so, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a grindy effort, you know, for Sandy. Didn't really have a whole lot of, like, you know, really clean, efficient innings. I think, you know, he saw that. I mean, pitch count getting driven up to where it was there, you know, even trying to get through the fifth. Maybe just not as crisp execution-wise as we've seen for pretty much the majority of the season.
All right, there you go. Sandy yesterday knocked around a little bit. Marlins, though, did come back and tie it, but Orioles able to come through in the ninth inning and were able to get back on top. So tough loss for the Fish yesterday. They dropped to 16-20 on the season. Three straight losses for them, and certainly not the momentum you were hoping for after taking two out of three from the Dodgers. You would have hoped they would have gotten home and felt a little friendly confines of Lone Depot Park, and that has not been the case so far. So we'll see. Good game yesterday for Joe Mack, though. He did get a couple of hits, so he is in the books now. Got his first MLB hit yesterday, the young Marlins catcher who everybody's raving about. So he did have that. And Liam Hicks, I mean, ridiculous. I won me some money yesterday.
Woo. Four hits?
He's Cal Raleigh. That's it. He's Marlins Cal Raleigh. That's all I'm saying. Except 5'8". Instead of being a moose, still got that. I mean, it doesn't matter. He hits the holy hell out of the baseball. Look, Dan Uglow was 5'9".
But he was a second baseman.
Yeah, I understand.
Catchers
can be short. They can be short. Some can. What about Carlos Ruiz? Chooch.
You know, my thing is with the damn knee.
Everybody
can't take a knee.
Everybody takes a knee now. Nobody does it that way anymore.
Yeah, but Augustine.
Well, he might need to go get a first baseman's mitt.
He need a net behind him like a goalie.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Orioles and Marlins, game two tonight is at 6:40, 6 o'clock. Marlins on deck. Steven Strom will get you going. Let me tell you something. He's not endorsing this, but I'm done. Yeah, I took some of his stats yesterday and made some money on it, so do with it what you will. Just do with it what you will. I don't want pitchforks at him if he gives you a bad stat. But I was listening to him yesterday.
Steve's guarantees?
Steve's guarantees. And I was listening to Steve's guarantees. Like, Liam Hicks? He goes, this guy gives up a lot of hits to lefties. I was like, does he now? I was little bet. I was like, all right. Thank you, Steven. Appreciate that. So, yeah. Playoffs last night. You had the Thunder do Thunder things to the Lakers yesterday. They won 108-90, really pulled away late in the third quarter. It wasn't really competitive since then. Austin Reeves, 3-for-16. Marcus Smart, 4-for-15.
I don't too much blame Marcus Smart, because that's kind of what he does. He's the antagonist. He is basically the Draymond Green of that team.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make some shots every now and then, but he's basically going to just, on the defensive side of the ball, he shouldn't have to shoot 15 shots, is what I'm saying.
Shooting 15
Who else
shots.
Is going to shoot?
Huh?
Buster's going to shoot.
I mean.
You say a lot, I mean, but you can't figure out the names of the people on that team.
I would have thought that Luke Kennard would be shooting more for them because he's had some good moments for him, but
other intangible came in to take his spot.
That's true. There's only apparently enough room for one intangible on Lakers land, and then Jake LaRavia.
He stinks.
But look, it's the Thunder. They're not going to win this year. If they had Luka, this would be
Rudy Hachimura.
He was all right.
13 shots, 18 points. He was second behind LeBron.
Yeah, he was all right. LeBron and Rui Hachimura were all right. I mean, he had to go to frying pan hands a few times. And
Dude, this is the honest truth. Vlad, I was telling Tobin this. I have never seen a guy look more athletic and be not than that dude right there.
There's always
because the thing we would say about Dwight Howard, he was 6'9".
No, well,
he was built, but he was athletic.
Dwight was like 6'10".
What? Okay, 6'10".
6'10", 6'11". Dwight was closer to 7 foot, but he
very athletic.
He was more athletic.
Right.
Ayton likes playing video games.
He don't like playing nothing.
He likes playing video games. That's what I'm saying.
Holy smokes, I see
Must be
guy.
Great video game scene there in Arizona between him and Kyler Murray. It was too much for him.
A lot
him.
Of long Call of Duty nights.
Yeah, a lot of it, dude. I was at the arcade this weekend. I played some Halo with my son. That is a fun game. I've never played it, like, just regularly. I just played it arcade style. It was a fun game. Takes a lot of credits to keep going in an arcade, though. Who do they think they are?
You were the biggest kid in the arcade, weren't you?
Oh, for sure, dude.
Oh, dude. Like, you know what I did when we go to the little arcades? Like, the one in Sawgrass. I used to ride the motorcycle.
What's in Sawgrass? What do they have? They have a D&B?
Huh?
Dave and Buster's? Is that in Sawgrass?
No.
That Dave and Buster's closed down in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
They have games. It's called Game Room.
They didn't open anything up over in the new Dania Point? There's nothing over there anymore?
They have the bowling alley. And wait. Oh, you weren't there. Yeah, they had the bowling alley. We had a Christmas party there. That's where we had the Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
I don't remember why.
It's got like a billiards and like a bowl arena.
All right. A bolero. That's kind of cool.
And the Improv, where you can find our boy Frog Boy.
Of course. Improv's going to open up in Wellington soon. Jaylen Brown, he was fined $50,000 for
really?
His criticisms of the officials on his Twitch stream. I have a problem with this.
What, the you get fined for criticizing the officials?
Season's
after
over. Yeah, season's over. I think once the year ends, season's over, you should be able to say what you want. You know? Like, there should be a... There should be a statute of limitation. Okay, you can't say it in the post game. I think he said something in the post game, but not like he went off with Joel Embiid being a big fat flopper in the on his Twitch with those Peaky Blinders who were with him. Who the hell were those guys?
Bunch of weird people, man.
What the hell was going on in this Jaylen Brown Twitch? So this was a little bit juicy, but there seems to be trouble in paradise. He comes out there. And he's like, this was the best year I've ever had. I had the most fun this year out of any year. This is a man who's won finals MVP. He's won the conference finals MVP. But this was the most fun he had because he didn't have Golden Boy around. He didn't have Tatum. So Tracy McGrady apparently has a strong relationship with Jaylen Brown. And he was on his podcast, Cousins, which he does with Vince Carter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's saying that Jaylen Brown is not happy in Boston.
His frustration lies deeply within the organization and other things that
of course
we don't really have details to. There's just been a lot of stuff, you know, that I've been hearing just going on with the Boston organization, with JB, you know. So I think part of him is like, I showed you guys more of who I am as a basketball player, not only just, you know, what I did on the basketball court, but the leadership that I displayed within, you know, this team. And you've seen that, not having our, you know, best player in JT. You've seen a different side of me and what I'm able to bring to the game of basketball. So all that stuff, you know, I think just came into play with him and his frustration. However.
So there you go. That was Tracy McGrady. Yesterday. Now, Brad Stevens just speaking to
the
media.
He
said that I talked to Jaylen on Monday. Well, this is after the comments have been said, but he said he talked to Jaylen on Monday. It was nothing but positive. He has not expressed those frustrations to me. Doors always open.
Yeah, we've known each other for 10 years. Yeah. We love JB.
I would say this. This was always going to be an issue at some point. Because I've said, even when they were both playing, I trust Jaylen Brown more than Tatum. And if I think that, there has to be other people who think that. It's something about the way Jaylen Brown plays, not about necessarily his ability, but the way that he plays, I feel that gives me a better chance to win. And maybe he thinks, why don't people see this?
Because he's flawed.
Who's flawed?
Jaylen Brown.
Why is he flawed?
He can't go left.
He plays like he plays basketball like an MMA fighter.
So everybody knows that. While the other guy doesn't really have flaws in his game. So that's why Tatum is more.
No, I got you.
So that's why.
Okay.
It took Jaylen Brown years to finally shed that narrative of he can't go left. There's certain things he can't do.
Right.
He probably did it this year, and he felt like, yeah, all those opinions, those negative opinions you had of me, I kind of squashed it this year on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that the cousins were talking because it's a similar situation that happened in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tracy McGrady was first drafted. He was supposed to be the future. Then Vince got drafted. Vince became the man.
High flyer.
T-Mac was like, I want to be the man of my own team, and he went to Orlando. So if he's talking to Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown might be at the time of his career, point of his career, where he wants to be the man of his own team.
Right. And not for nothing. I'd take him in a heartbeat. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Who would you take him for? Tyler. What would you give up?
Tyler.
You think they want Tyler? Even though Tyler would work great in Boston.
Oh, they love three-pointers.
Right.
They love three-pointers.
Tyler would work great with him.
I like him already. I'll tell you that much.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Let's think about this. Is there anybody on Boston's team that don't play defense?
Pritchard doesn't really play that great a defense.
Their defense.
Would you take Pritchard over Tyler Hero's defense?
For contract, I would. But just like the idea, like Pritchard always does give Tyler Hero the business. There's definitely intangible, intangible crime that goes on there.
Right.
But, you know, Peyton Pritchard's never really been in any role that's higher than what Tyler Hero has been. I think Tyler Hero's a better player.
Right.
Why not have both? I like this team. And then we can keep Vucevic with Hero. Derek White's got an intangible last name. We're on to something here.
I didn't like today on Boston radio. They were being floozies, all right? They were doing me, which I don't like.
Wait, they were being floozies?
They were trying to bat their eyes at Bam Adebayo this morning on WEEI The Murph, our sister station up there in Boston. And this is what they were talking about.
I know Mego was talking about Bam Adebayo as a possible trade. I would love it because if you look at him, Giannis, those are guys that don't shoot three-pointers. They get to the hole and they finish at the rim.
Tatum are tight.
I think Bam's a perfect fit for this.
I love Bam, but you're not getting Bam unless you're willing to give up Jaylen. Miami is not giving you Bam Adebayo, who is basically a walking double-double.
Well, you think it could be done for...
Money-wise, it could be done with White and Hauser.
Oh, great.
But okay. To Wiggy's point, what else would you have to give them in terms of...
I would throw in Ron Harper Jr.
You'd throw in whoever you want. You'd throw in draft picks.
Would picks be enough?
No, because you don't have any lottery picks.
Let's send them Hauser and let's send them Shireman.
It's crazy to hear these guys sound like every other team right now.
I love it. It's great. I like them being in a little disarray. It's good for them. Good for the soul.
For your soul?
It is good for my soul.
Okay.
It is good for my soul. They can't have Bam for Hauser, though. I'm not taking that trade.
I mean, come on.
I'm not taking that trade.
Now, Bam for Jaylen?
Nah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Sorry. And we already know he's not trading Bam. We already got Pat's explanation.
He's got first
round and Wembanya.
Wembanya. Goya.
Wembanya.
I love it. Tatum and him are tight.
Yeah, well, guess what? Then send Tatum down here.
You would take Tatum in a heartbeat.
I'd take Jaylen Brown over Tatum. Just preference. I'm not saying he's better. I'm not saying I just...
It's a lot of money too to be terrified. Both. Like he's already got a torn Achilles, and now he's got other leg problems.
I take Jaylen Brown.
Puff.
Even if they were both healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I just think.
You think he's got that dog in him?
I think he's got that dog in him.
Gotcha.
It sucks because, again, saying dude can't go left, he looked fine to me, Vlad. He looked fine to me.
I don't knock him.
When he can't go left, he just elbows somebody right in the face.
I mean.
That's his move.
Or leave hair dye on his that's on the right. jerseys.
Yeah.
Can't do that down here.
No, but I would get it. If you finally had a year where you spread your feathers and you're like, look, see, I could do it. And then they're like, yeah, that was great, Jaylen, but Tatum's back now.
That's basically that. And that's basically how Jaylen Brown feels.
That is how he feels.
Right.
So Jaylen Brown for hero. What does he make? 50? What does he make this year?
Ooh, Jaylen Brown? He's got to be making $60
million. Sheesh, he's a lot of money to make.
He's making $300 million. He signed a
He just signed a Supermax.
Yeah, he signed a five-year, $300 million deal.
Let's see.
They're both making over 60, him and Tatum.
Okay, he's making just a tick under 60 this year. So you have to do Tyler.
Wiggins.
You would need Wiggins to opt in to only make that trade happen. Because the only way you can make that work, money. Well, he plays this position. It's not going to work.
Okay.
All
right.
So you would need Wiggins to opt in to make that happen. Because the only other money you have to give out would be Davion, who's going to be at Whiskey Stars and Cigars, and I would never trade.
Unless. So
it would have to be Davion, Hero. That gets you to like 42. And then. I mean, Jovic? Are they going to take Jovic? Probably not. I think that's probably where the phone call gets hung up on.
Jovic would love to go. You saw his face when he was at that Boston nightclub.
Oh, he gets to go to Han for horny Sundays.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you sending me? He goes, Boston, Nico. The horny place. Count me in. But I don't know if anybody, I don't know if Brad Stevens is going to want to take Jovic for the scratch that he makes.
I don't understand how you think two oppositions, rivals, are going to make a trade with each other.
Sometimes when
that doesn't benefit. Like one is not really going to.
Well,
be
if
beneficial.
You were if the Heat offered them three first round picks, if they gave them what they got,
I wouldn't go all that. I'm not doing all that.
I wouldn't do all of that because
just
because
the money he makes,
it's not the NFL.
No, I understand, but
I'm not doing all.
They're going to get a haul for Jaylen Brown. They're not going to get.
It depends on where he goes.
Right.
He's right. 30. A lot of people are saying Atlanta. That's where he's from.
They do need a. They would need a Jaylen Brown type of guy.
Yeah, they do. No, they do. I mean, unless they think Jalen Johnson's going to be that. But
nah, he's a good complimentary, but he might not be a superstar as of yet. But
Schmieden saying Jaylen for Giannis is happening. I've heard that father too. Giannis, they go. Jaylen to Atlanta, Giannis goes to Boston, and then Atlanta gets the picks, you know? So, or Milwaukee gets their pick back and gets some of their control back, you know? Possible. It's possible.
Moves will be made this off.
Depends if Giannis wants to go to Boston, though. I don't know. Seems like he wants a beach. We'll see.
Hey, Aldi's speaking to the devil.
Oh, look, there he is. Oh, even with the cow sheet.
A lot of commercials all of a sudden. You can't.
Hottest chick in the game.
You can't go nowhere without seeing the hottest chick in the game.
He's everywhere.
And is that the new predicting thingamajiggy?
Yeah, right after all the trade rumors. He's about to clean up, and he's going to just stay in Milwaukee. He'll stay in Milwaukee. He's going to get John Morant, and he's never going to leave.
Nah, you think John Morant wants to go to Milwaukee?
No, I don't think he wants to go, but I think, that's the same trick they pulled on Damian Lillard. Like, oh, you get to play with Giannis. He's like, great.
But Giannis doesn't want to play there.
I don't know. Nobody knows what he wants. He always changes his mind.
I hate this time of year.
I love it.
Because I find myself.
I can't wait for Sunday.
I heard the Jaylen Brown stuff, and I'm like, no.
Well, what do you got? You don't. A ball that's not going to be thrown in the air by the Heat until September.
I know.
Well, let's not forget about the real league in Las Vegas. All right.
That's all for young guys.
Kasper Jakučionis. Time to shine. Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
What?
You're going to be going crazy over Summer League, aren't you?
Oh, I can't wait.
He does it all the time.
No, but there's no Euro League this year. So
there's not. So I only got Kasper Jakučionis lobs to DeBanza.
You think Kalon might play?
No, no shot.
You sure?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. Usually year three, you're done with that. Mm. Except for that guy on the Celtics, Walsh. He plays like every year.
I mean, he's a journeyman.
Nico could probably use him Summer League, but he's not going to go.
Oh, man.
Take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Tonight, you got the Marlins back in action. Game 2 of their 3-game set against the Baltimore Orioles. For the Cats fans out there, the Panthers dropped to 9th in this year's NHL draft. But if you listen to David Dwork, we're getting Brady Tkachuk, so it doesn't really matter, does it? That's what I heard. I don't know if that's what you heard.
I didn't hear that.
I felt like I heard that. I felt like all the power is in Brady Tkachuk's hands, and he's going to be a Panther. That's basically what I heard.
Nobody heard that.
People are going to be so mad at Bill Zito. It's going to be glorious. Because he's just going to be, are you kidding me? He's got both of them? Because he plays like a Panther, too. That's the other thing. Just an antagonist, rambunctious.
There's certain guys that fit.
Yep.
And in contrast, you can't basically tell me what fits with the Dolphins because they haven't had a type of culture to determine
right
what players need. So they just go out and buy players without any culture, and it didn't work long term. It worked temporarily.
Everybody came here for the flash,
right?
And everybody came here for the cash.
When you look
and then it didn't really pay out. Like once it got hard, right, Everybody was razzled. And I hope that's one of these things that did sound like, and it's just podcast fodder. But I listened to Halfley yesterday. He was on Richard Sherman's podcast. I guess they go ways back. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea. Yeah, he's like, look, we gotta figure out who's through adversity here. And one of the things that he looked at on these draft films, like he's like, I don't know, measurables, all that, but he was like watching the way that guys react on plays, like how do they encourage their teammates, how do they encourage plays by their other teammates, how hard they play, like that intangible safety that they got from Texas, Michael Taft.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, oh, the people talk about his measurables, but he's like, he plays incredibly hard,
right?
Rodriguez,
that's you know what, and to be honest with you, I was very, very fortunate when I got into the league that when they told me what they need me to do, they said, do that, right? I didn't have to change. I didn't have to, you know, figure something out. Just go out there and smash. Mm-hmm. Oh, smash. And no matter where I went, I was able to do that. So the culture is set with certain organizations and certain teams. I look at Detroit.
What, kneecap.
Right. He started and everybody laughed, but guess what, how they play?
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
One ass cheek and three toes?
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
Damn, life already.
We're still hungry.
But that's, you know, it sounds ridiculous, and it sounded ridiculous when he took that job, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's not so funny. Because you know what you're dealing with when you play against Detroit.
Who do you think is the number one kneecap biter on this team right now? Is it Brooks? I feel like Brooks is the number one kneecap biter on this Dolphins team.
Oh, yeah.
He's kneecap biter.
Oh, yeah. And part of it is because is there any other player that you know plays with that intensity?
On this team that I know, Sealer, a little bit?
Like,
I mean, when he's not running into punters.
I would say, when you think of Sealer, he's a physical player, but he's
so kneecap big. Is mean. Is that big, what meanness
right.
is?
He's big, so does that kind of take away from the kneecap biting?
Because I was going to ask about Kenny G, because it was like Kenny G a kneecap biter. Because I felt like when we had his coach on, I felt like he was saying he's a kneecap biter.
Here's the problem, and a lot of people overlook this. One of the things that I want to explain to people is he was asked to play a different style of D lineman than he had played at Michigan. And it took him a while to get acclimated to that. Like, think about this. When you think of physical D linemen, you think of guys getting up the field, causing havoc in the backfield. He was asked to read and react.
Mm-hmm. I don't like how you did that.
Read and react. That's what they do.
It's like he's playing peekaboo with a 300-pound man.
That's what it is.
I like it, though.
That's what it is. It's called two-gap defense.
If you have a mustache like Rodriguez, you need to bite kneecaps.
Oh, you need to be so aggressive and physical.
You can't be sitting here and you got a great mustache like that. Because even like from the running back position, Zonka would bite a kneecap. Right. If you got a mustache like Kim Bokamper, you better be biting kneecaps.
Well, but
only person who didn't really.
The only difference back then was 245, everybody thought you were tough.
Yeah.
Back when Kim Bokamper and them guys played. Right? I mean, come on. Not for nothing. And I'm not disparaging anybody, right? They had 215-pound linebackers. 5'10", 215. Man, I'm not going to besmirch. Say anything,
sounds like you're going to besmirch.
Say anything bad about the old days.
Careful, I love those wings. Be careful.
It's all relative.
So what he did to Jim Carrey in the bathroom.
That's true. He punched him right in the snot box.
But when I played against Pittsburgh, they had a linebacker that was 295.
Sheesh.
A middle linebacker that could run. This is not an exaggeration. You can pull him up. Levon Kirkland. Listed. Middle linebacker, 295. Not, he was bigger than he was listed as. Nope. Every bit of it.
Levon Kirkland was known for his immense size, generally weighing between 270 and 280 listed. He often played 275-plus pounds, suggesting he weighed up to 300 pounds during the 2001 season with the Seattle Seahawks.
Right. Middle linebacker. Not nose guard.
He had the neck pad.
Oh. Dude.
Kim Bokamper's listed weight, 250. 6'6". He's a moose.
That's not a moose.
He's a moose, dude. Have you seen those forearms?
No, he's a moose now. He's a moose. Yeah, but I'm saying 6'6", 2'6", that sounds like a big basketball player.
In the 70s, that's a moose.
That's a moose. So, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. I'm not.
You were about to.
No, I wasn't.
Point is, Jacob Rodriguez needs to be biting kneecaps. All right?
I think just that I think, here's what I hope. I hope that over the course of this year, we basically find out that, wow, we have gone from a speed team to a more physical team.
Yeah.
That I think if we can accomplish that.
Kyle Lewis, the Pittsburgh safety, maybe linebacker. His nickname is Shark. You know what sharks do? They bite kneecaps.
They eat white people?
Well, that's true.
It's not inaccurate.
Yeah. You know why they don't eat us, Vlad? It's not that we're nasty.
Because we're not going to go to
the
We ain't in the grocery store. Vlad, we are not in the grocery store. They said, where can I get that? Not here.
Always loving the ant. I'm always want to think. I want to see what the animals are thinking. Oh, look at this poor dumb girl. Oh, yeah. This dumb young man. Oh, he wants to pet me. He wants to touch me.
He wanted to pet. Why y'all want to pet him?
I want to direct him, like in Blaze. Like, I'd like to send his energy to another place.
They're not kids.
I think they are, though. I think they'd be friends with him.
Nope, I don't need to be
friends. I'm not going to end up like that. Those people got attacked by the beaver that we saw yesterday.
That's you.
That's
you.
Not me.
I can see you sound like, Tommy, come here. I'm about to play with a beaver.
Mm-hmm.
You call him over there.
I didn't know they attack people.
You in his... Hey, know what that beaver was like? Mm-hmm. Don't you come up in my house like this.
They do work very hard to make their homes.
Yeah. I've been spending the last 2 weeks building this dam. You going to come over here and play? Got time for this? Uh-uh. You out your mind. But it's always, look. I got to tell you, there's just certain things that we don't do, right? Because if we have any one of us as members of the Tangibles, and we go in the woods and something move in the bushes or the water,
we out.
Y'all like, ooh, look, what kind of animal is this?
I want to look a little bit. Yeah, I want to explore.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
See some,
I don't know.
See some bears in the mountains. I want to feed them.
Absolutely. No.
It's like the Eddie
Murphy. And then they have rules about the bears.
Mm-hmm.
We got one rule. Run.
Yeah, it's like the Eddie Murphy joke, you know. Like, you know, people go buy a new house. Oh, it's a beautiful house. Everything's great. Look at the walls and everything. And then get out. All right, that's it. You know, thank you for the tour. Hey, thank you for the view. We're not buying this house anymore.
You don't
thank
mess
you.
With ghosts?
No, we don't mess with.
Eddie Murphy did that scary movie.
Wait, you're telling me that only ghost hunters are intangibles?
Yes.
Nah, there's got to be tangible ghost hunters.
No. Nope.
Why would that matter?
We don't believe in the spirits like that.
You don't?
Spirits.
They're ghosts. All of that. Apparitions. Mm. All of that. At least the Caribbeans,
we have is in that 3-hour Baptist church.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where you get your spirit.
Where people catch the Holy Ghost and all that.
That's it.
We ain't no spirits.
Not Casper.
Once we leave the church, nope.
No Casper.
I have strangest thing that I've ever Googled before. Are there black ghost hunters? AI review. Yes, there are black ghost hunters. Hold on. Most notably, the Ghost Brothers. Dalen Spratt, Jawan Mass, and Marcus
First of
Harvey.
All, ain't no brother named Dalen.
That's his name.
It ain't Dalen.
Spratt.
I like to see pictures.
I will send you video.
Are they dark? Are they darker complexion?
It's night vision.
Oh, well, everybody's dark.
Well, I don't know if he's one of them I think he's a reporter.
The narrator?
He's the narrator.
Hey, but wait. Check this out. They ghost hunting, but ain't nobody in the dark.
Well, they're doing an interview right now.
Hey, he looked like he just, look.
I love how the chat, the most famous tangible ghost is Ghostface Killer. From the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yep, that's it. Ghostface Killer.
Can we get these guys on? I want to try and get on the Ghost Brothers.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking at this video of the Ghost Brothers. Ain't nobody nowhere near ghosts, nor are they even in the dark.
They even have their own Wikipedia.
Huh?
They have their own Wikipedia.
How many ghosts have they caught?
I don't know. They've had 2 seasons on TLC.
You know where they won't find that? BET.
Based out of their...
They have a zero rating if you put that show on BET.
The premise.
Vlad!
What do you mean, dude?
If you put that show on BET...
You can even put it on Tubi.
What are you talking about? They have 2 seasons.
No.
You couldn't even put it on Tubi.
You know why? Because here's why. For the same reason why you would have pet a shark. White folks see that and go, it's 3 black dudes. Go, I need to see this. And all the black people like, nope, not real. I'm out. You know why? Think about it.
Dade South says ghost from Power.
But he a ghost.
I hate you, Dade South. That's a good one. He's right.
Yeah.
James St. Patrick.
Twitcher. Again, they can't put it on BET. You would figure black ghost hunter, right? On a black station?
It's
nobody's buying it.
Madea doesn't do ghosts as funny.
Right, Madea don't do ghosts?
Let me read you the premise.
Oh, here we go. The premise of the show is already going to tell you why it can't be on BET. Go.
Based out of their hometown of Atlanta, Georgia, the Ghost Brothers are an all-African-American group of ghost hunters who investigate the most haunted locations in America and attempt to prove that ghosts are real. Opening introduction, there's a new team of paranormal investigators here to answer 2 questions about ghost hunting. Are ghosts for real, and why is everyone white?
You know why?
So wait, the Ghost Brothers...
Because in order to have black ghosts, you got to have black people that believe in ghosts.
So Ghost Brothers are trying to figure out...
Why all the ghosts are white?
Why are we the only ones that want to do this?
Right.
Yeah.
They went to Derry, Louisiana.
Well, that's a good place. It's a good start.
Derry?
Yeah.
Derry, Louisiana?
Yeah.
How you going to go ghost hunting in a place that don't have no black folks?
I don't know.
That's where ghosts go.
The black ghosts don't? Now, first of all.
Sam, we don't have black
first
ghosts.
First of all, you ain't going to find a black ghost down south.
Why would they?
He ain't going to get abused in the afterlife.
Why would they?
They barely liked him when he was alive.
Why would they? He's right. Not trying to join that.
Think about
no.
that. Mm-mm. The racial discrimination while he was alive, then he gonna go to a small town in the South?
I mean, if you're gonna perish, you might as well perish in a big place.
Yeah.
Why go in a small town in Louisiana?
Man, you clearly don't understand black folks.
I mean, I'm trying to help you.
Understand.
I'm trying to help you because you guys have you have a team.
Leroy. Ain't buying it. Not buying it. Leroy. Nope, that ain't a team. You know what that is?
Why?
That's James Harden as a point guard.
Damn, just turn the ball over, huh?
Jeez. Take a break. We're back after this. Point for Leroy. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you.
Me and Blake can do a whole show, and the name of the show would be Why White People Do This. That's just going to be the name of the show.
I think it's a hit podcast.
He was saying, as I get older, I like jalapenos.
Yeah, jalapenos are great.
And I said, why are white folks trying to stuff cheese in them?
Jalapeno poppers?
Jalapenos are great, man.
There wasn't. Where was I?
We had those jalapeno poppers in Vegas. You love them.
No, but I'm saying, yeah, those are different. You can get those at just like any sports bar, whatever. But I had some ginormous, when I was at the golf thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had these big old jalapenos stuffed with cheese and stuff. No meat.
That's good.
And I'm like, why?
Hmm.
Why?
So it's like a half a stuffed pepper?
It was a big old pepper. They split in half and stuffed it with like cheese and something like that.
No meat though, huh?
No meat. Hmm. Right. I was telling about the cowboy candy ribs.
Oh, man.
Jalapenos on them and bacon.
Those were good.
Yeah.
Let us get to the part of the show where we mix things up. We refer to this as the mix bag.
Boom, boom.
You are familiar with Scottie Scheffler?
I am.
Okay,
I am. He is a stoic guy if you don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen him in lighter, situations.
Well, he went...
Does. Leroy, just say he's the best damn golfer in the game right now.
I didn't really need to. I know you know who Scottie Scheffler
is. Yeah, you just should have just said he's the best golfer in the game. He's the number one ranked golfer. Nobody cares about his personality.
I'm trying to explain to people that don't see him all the time that when you ever see him, he always looks like he's miserable.
Eh.
Well, Scottie Scheffler, you know what's going on with Liv. It appears their funding has been cut by the Saudis.
Yep.
People are trying to.
You know how much money they dumped into that? $5.3 billion.
That's crazy.
For no return.
Well, Scottie Scheffler, while this was all going down, as the Cadillac Championship was going on, he was asked about this, and Scottie Scheffler did not want to engage.
Mm-hmm. Scottie, away from this, the news coming fast and furious this week about LIV golfers and LIV in general, and this we've seen Brooks, we've seen Patrick Reed's on his way back. What are your feelings on these pathways back? Some believe just let them in. Some believe there needs to be some kind of penalty. Where do you stand?
I just got off the golf course. I don't know what you want from me. All right, sweet. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That was great.
That was great.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Wow. The guy probably thought he was going to get a little bit more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Scottie's like,
I'm not really emotionally ready to answer that right now.
So
I'm out of here.
So here's the deal. I'm torn behind this because we can point fingers at the LIV people and say what they did. But here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're independent contractors. You don't win, you don't get paid. So if somebody offers you guaranteed money, which happens on tour, by the way. On tour, if you have a sponsor, so Tiger had a sponsor that was Buick. So he would play in all the Buick events, right? And they would pay him guaranteed money, but that's Tiger. A lot of these guys don't have those options. So the Saudis came in and said, we'll throw a boatload of money at you. Now, Phil Mickelson and who's the Australian? Old guy who was the president.
Hogan?
No. Australian. He was the president. Greg Norman.
My bad. I was thinking of Crocodile Hunter.
You said Ben Hogan.
So,
or Crocodile Dundee.
So Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman were complaining about the fact that the players weren't making enough money.
That's not a stroke.
Right? So you notice when LIV came around,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden all these purses went from 4 or 5 million to 20 million, which made their point.
that now all of a sudden you found money from somewhere to pay
right.
the players.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's certain guys who got legacy checks. So Tiger,
a legacy check.
Tiger and Rory got just a big fat check. Rory got a check for loyalty of $50 million.
Wow. For loyalty?
The whole thing.
He was like the number one guy riding for the PGA.
The whole thing that everybody was complaining about, the players, was that they had the money, they weren't making it available to the players,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden became available. So if I'm on the tour and I see when all this started, you kind of got to thank Liv for making the PGA Tour do something.
But if they're not competition anymore, why is anybody – like, isn't it kind of one of these things where you're just being petty?
Yes, they want to punish him from leaving the first. Now, here's the kicker. So Jon Rahm is not coming back to the PGA Tour. He's going to the DP World Tour.
How's that?
The European Tour.
Oh, okay.
Where Patrick Reed is there. Now, if you get top 10 on the money list on that tour, you automatically get your card.
How many guys are still on LIV that can't play in tournaments that people care about?
Phil.
Most of them. Most? No, Phil's still. If you win a major, you still qualify for those events. So he could have been playing, but he hasn't. He skipped out on the Masters. He skipped out on the PGA Tour. I think he just can't play anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a few guys, though. All they care about are these guys.
DeChambeau's not paying back. He's just going to YouTube.
His YouTube, right. He has a great YouTube channel. And
he still gets to play in all the majors.
And he's, yes.
So.
And you got a nine-figure check.
Right. But I'm thinking, some of these guys got $100 million to go to live.
Yep.
You're not going to make that in your career. I'm thinking to myself, if y'all don't like me, okay, I can live with that.
I'll go be a vlogger.
It's a career.
LeBron loves me.
It's a career, right?
As long as LeBron loves you.
Like, I'm torn because, again, I didn't like the back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at who benefited from it, everybody benefited from these guys going to live because then the PGA Tour mysteriously found millions of extra dollars. These guys went and got paid. And so from that, and then here, start showing me when the PGA Tour has given a damn when a player miss a cut. Because you miss a cut, you don't get a check. So, like, yeah.
Well, what's the point of that? I don't understand.
Huh?
What do you mean? Why would they care?
Exactly. But if the guy says, you know what, I'm tired of missing cuts, I'm going to get this guaranteed money, then they have a problem?
No, they had a problem because they were worried about competition stealing the biggest stars. That's what the problem was.
Well, they don't have to worry about that now when you play 8 events that are worth $20 million, which is what the complaint was before LIV came around.
In the sweet science, yeah, David Benavidez this week beat the holy hell out of Zuro Ramirez, 6-round TKO.
I've never seen that guy, Vlad. Dude don't have a muscle on his body. Hands move so fast you could barely see him.
Who, yep. Benavidez?
Yeah.
No, he's good, bro.
Yeah, he's awesome.
The goods.
Now, he's saying yesterday, he did a lot of interviews yesterday, and he said that he's in talks with Dmitry Bivol. However, Turki Alashik, he has said that he wants to put together him versus Alexander Usyk.
Ooh.
And Roy Jones Jr. was on his podcast.
Usyk. Money.
And he was telling Andre Ward, he says, don't be stupid. Go fight Usyk.
Yeah.
He's like, strike while the iron's hot. Here's Roy Jones.
If Canelo not fighting you, forget about everybody else. Go straight to Usyk. Don't play with nobody else. The Usyk fight is one of the biggest fights of this decade right now. Take it while it's hot. Don't play with him. And don't let him play with you. It is not smart for David Benavidez to give Jabatai a shot at his name right now because he's hot right now. You go up and fight Usyk while you're hot and it makes sense. You can always come back down and fight Bataille if you want to. You understand? If you lost to Usyk, Bataille fight still there. If you lose to Bataille, Usyk fight gone. So be smart about this thing. Go take Usyk while the iron is hot. You beat Usyk, you don't know how to see Bataille unless he want to come to heavyweight. But if you go fight Bataille and lose, you don't get a chance to see Usyk, and you don't get a chance to make history. That's crazy. You're on a rail right now to do something that nobody ever done before. Now, he can go super middleweight, light heavyweight, cruiser heavy. While you on this roll, go see Usyk. Why would you play with a guy who's just as dangerous as Usyk, not as known as Usyk, not going to bring you as much money as Usyk, when you can just go straight to Usyk? That's kind of crazy. That's how boxing misses out on big fights.
There you go, Roy Jones Jr.
He's right.
Hey, young buck, go straight to Usyk.
He did it. But the problem is, when he went back down, he started getting his ass kicked.
Crowd of the goats, right? He sounds like an old pimp.
Because he can't go back. He went back. Roy Jones, when he went back down,
it was bad. He couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't go.
Woo. But Roy Jones had a different problem. Roy Jones didn't. He was beating up everybody in his division. He had nobody to fight.
Yeah, and then you had to. And then when Tarver was setting up the way that he was, like he felt like he had to go. They knew each other from being young too. Like that was a rivalry that Tarver was going after for a while. Yeah. I don't think there's really that. Like Dimitri Bivol. Like look, Bivol beat Canelo, and as good as he is, I don't feel like he got the rip off of that, even like Terrence Crawford did. Like, everybody's like, oh, right. He jabbed him to death. He had the good fights with Beterbiev, which were fun, but I just don't feel like...
Roy is right, though. He's right. Like, stop trying to do setup fights. Go get the money fight while you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because that fight's going to be available for X amount of time.
Right.
Somebody going to do something stupid, right? Somebody going to do something, and then the fight ain't going to be worth it. You got a guy that's willing to pay a bunch of money for that fight? Go take the fight.
Be legendary.
Yeah.
So cool. I don't know if he wins because Usyk's the man, but jeez.
But you think he could just tap, tap, tap him to death? Bap, 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 bap. Or if he get hit with one overhand right, he's going to have to take a knee.
Well, Usyk's not like a one-hitter, quitter type of guy. Like, it's not him, but he never really, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes technically. You know, he's as pristine as it gets, especially for a heavyweight.
Right.
So I don't know if, like, the combinations, like, I don't think you're going to hit him six times unanswered like you did Ramirez.
Oof.
But I would like to see it.
Yeah.
I would like to see it. I would like to see it because I think that.
And it's going to be during the middle of the day because they're going to have it over there.
I don't know if they will because Turkey will bring fights over here.
Really?
He's done fights over here. Yeah, he's done plenty of fights over here. I think he just wants to make the fights, you know? That's the one thing I think with him, as opposed to like the LIV guys. I think the LIV guys were definitely trying to bring in some the idea of like shaking things up. I genuinely do think that Turkey does want to make big fights because he likes to be the man.
He doesn't want to break it up.
He likes to be ringside. He likes to be known as the guy that made things happen in boxing.
Right.
I did see a clip yesterday that Benavidez says he doesn't want to move up to heavyweight for another 5 years. Hey, you're 29, dude. You're gonna wait till you're 34? Like that? Just do it. Easy for me to say. I understand.
Who's our guy fighting next?
Xander? He's fighting Boots. He's fighting Boots at the end of June. It's a huge fight.
So we could get Boots and Xander and then Usyk.
And Benavidez.
Oh.
Yeah, dude.
That's a hell of a summer.
Because Canelo's not fighting him.
That's a hell of a summer, Vlad.
He's been wanting, Benavidez has been wanting the Canelo fight forever. Canelo won't fight him.
For the same reason Floyd wouldn't fight Canelo again.
Why would Floyd do that?
I think Canelo would get killed.
Huh?
I think Canelo would get killed by Benavidez.
And why would Floyd want to fight more polished?
Floyd's got his own fights he's got to worry about now.
Well, one
the only
canceled,
thing I
right?
would say about Canelo is he'll take the money and not worry about the L. Floyd got so caught up on the zero, right, that he avoided a lot of fights. Like, he fought a lot of guys early in their career.
Fight smarter, not dumber.
Huh?
Fight smarter, not dumber.
I mean, but at some point, like what Floyd did was, it didn't matter who he fought. It made a lot of money because everybody was just going to sell the fight.
Everybody knows that Floyd is not
had to sell the fight because his fights were boring.
Right, he's not the most exciting fight. The reason why everybody wanted him to lose, so bad people were going to pay the ridiculous amount of money on pay per view to see if he was going to lose, knowing that he wasn't going to lose. But you just don't want. You just wanted to be there just in case.
And Tyson was the opposite.
Even if Benavidez went up and lost, nobody would hold that against him.
No.
They'd be like, oh, my God, that was like the risk of all risks.
Right. He can't – no matter what happens in this fight, I don't think there's any way he could come out of it looking bad.
No. We'll take a break here on the program. More to come.
Even
get you caught up
no
with your
muscles.
Headlines. We're back after this.